Okay.
Well, that's where all the snow's coming from.
Moving up now to item number 17, discussion. We'll take no action. This is Comstock Mining LLC to report the overflow of an event pond located at 1200 American Flat Road. This is a heap leach facility during the January rain and snowstorm event. The report will show that no known violations are evident and it will summarize monitoring, remediation, and future prevention that is underway with guidance and direction from the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection. Who's going to take the lead on that? Mr. Jolcover?
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Scott Jolcover, Director of Business Development for Comstock Mining. I'm not going to bore you with regurgitating all of the weather. I think we're all very aware of it, seeing it, living it, breathing it. Our facility is designed in accordance to standards with the Division of Environmental Protection to sustain 25-year events. We have now, fast forward, even post when this was agendized, suffered our fourth 100-year event. To that end, a 100-year event is 2 inches of rain in a 24-hour period. 2 inches of rain over the surface of our facility equals about 1.6 million gallons. Our event pond that is designed to capture all of these events was designed for 4.9 million gallons. It was designed by SRK in Reno and approved by their engineers and approved by the Division of Environmental Protection's engineers. To that end, we have had unprecedented, and as you know now, greater precipitation in all of recorded weather history in this area. We've been very proactive. We quit adding cyanide to our leach facility in November, and we brought our pond levels down. When we saw storms were coming, we hit the solution that was left with hydrogen peroxide, which kills cyanide. In January, we did have a power outage with a breaker for a very short period of time, and approximately, I believe it was just over 95,000 gallons escaped the event pond. NDEP was notified. Joe Curtis with Story County Emergency Management was notified. Austin Osborne in planning was notified. We all met out at the site, looked at the area, did the sampling protocol that was normal for this type of event. This type of event also occurred in December of 2005 and January of 2006. When there was a 100-year event back then. Post that, we had the same breaker failed, and what we didn't realize the first time that the breaker failed was that there was actually some water leakage in the electrical cabinet. Breaker failed a second time, and that's when we learned that it was a water leak, and it took about 5 hours to get that repaired, and during that, we had the second spill. Same thing, notified Austin, notified Joe, same protocol with NDEP. They came out through all of this, and post the first one, we were able to get three, they're called Landshark snowmakers, evaporators, from Jarrett Canyon. They donated them to us. We got two pond evaporators that we put in the event pond that came from SMI Incorporated in Reno. And then we got six more evaporators from snowmakers out of Michigan. So all this snow you're seeing is not from us. So we're evaporating to the maximum capability of the facility. Obviously, you don't evaporate when there's 100% humidity. We're in touch with NDEP regularly. Joe Sawyer, who is the NDEP bureau chief, toured the facility with me on Saturday. And we're compliant. There's no violations. There is no degradation to the waters of the state of Nevada, which is what our permit requires. We will have remediation in the spring with the Bureau of Land Management. They also came out, Dan Urbis. And we have soil samples that are in. And because it was so muddy, the laboratory, and with the specifications from NDEP, has to ball mill the material to check whatever metals could possibly be. There is some gold and some silver in there. But the chances of that leaching into groundwater are impossible. Groundwater in that area in the shallowest well is about 60 feet, and the rest of them are at about 140 feet, and there is no way that meteoric water can get that material all the way through into the groundwater. You have maps in front of you of the area of the plume where that spillage occurred, and that's on our unpatented mining claims in American Flat. I think Lester has come up. Also, a picture of the snowmakers, of which there are 9 snowmaker evaporators running and 2 event pond evaporators. So we're fighting it tooth and nail. Happy to take questions. I want to thank Story County Fire. They were beyond helpful. As soon as we got the snowmakers in, they helped provide some needed hoses. It was like pick up the phone. How fast can you get here? I mean, that's how Story County is. Building department, fire department was out of sandbags, went to the building department. They rummaged through their, for lack of a better word, emergency inventory and got us sandbags that we were able to fill immediately and help shore up the facility.
You guys have any questions for Scott?
No, I've seen the reports, and you guys are on top of it constantly. You know, the weather's been your enemy.
Acts of God or acts of God.
It's been everybody's enemy the last month or so.
2 months.
Anything, Lance?
I don't.
No, I've read everything, so I don't have any concerns. If DEP doesn't have any concerns, I don't think I do either. Yeah. Did you have anything to follow up on?
Thank you, Commissioner. Scott really summarized everything just fine. I just want to say it for the record on behalf of planning that everything Scott said is true to my knowledge. And that the NDEP and I and him and our team are communicating continuously, and the letters that you have in your packets are part of our record as well, and the NDEP is continuing to monitor and will be communicating with us. So thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Austin.
So I may have missed just a minute, but just a quick question. It appears that we are not out of this storm pattern yet. There's atmospheric rivers coming at us. I just saw a report that they're planning on 3 more days of aggressive storm at the end of this week, going through yet another. And so are there plans afoot to mitigate further? Should we continue to have this heaven-sent events?
We could use all the help from Mother Nature in terms of getting some sunshine. Friday, Saturday, part of Sunday, we were able to evaporate and get some capacity, which has held this last storm so far. We're looking for a possible window of that sunshine in the next few days. Is it possible that we could spill again? It is possible if that river hits hard enough. Of course, every river that's coming through is diluting it again and again and again. And we continue to sample. We've got 3 more samples going in today ahead of this next river, so we have a baseline knowing exactly where we were at. When the last major river came through, our event pond was hit with peroxide on a Tuesday. It was sampled on a Wednesday, and on Friday it was at 0.2 drinking water standard. So could we have more spill? It's possible. We're doing everything humanly possible to avoid that, and we will also be filing a corrective action plan with NDEP on how to mitigate this going forward. You know, is it going to have to need more capacity? Is there going to be a different way to manage the facility? This is something that not even the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection was prepared for. They designed these facilities at 25-year events, and you usually overcompensate, as we did. Okay, a 25-year event, your event pond would fill like about 1.6 million gallons, and you got a 4.9 million gallon pond, you got room for 2 more storms easily. This is unprecedented.
So I guess it's a naive question, but
no.
There is an existing alternative source you can pump to for temporary holding or drawdown at all?
We have exhausted those possibilities, including using our fire pond. Yeah, and that was the first thing they did, was give us permission to put solution in the fire pond. Yeah.
Anyone have any public comments? Well, that concludes it. Thank you, Scott, for coming up and giving us a report. Let's move on now to item number 18. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of licensing board second readings. Looks like there's 26.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, on behalf of Community Development, we're actually recommending approval of all 26 listed on your agenda and in your packet. And to identify those, that is Lead Staffing, L.A. Basin, LLC, DBA Lead Staffing, Southwest Specialty Contractors, Forsgren Associates, Inc., NIDEC Shimpo Corporation, Bike Corporation, Connex Tech, Inc., Silver State Wire Rope and Rigging, Inc., Unico Mechanical Corp., Atlas Rigging and Transfer, Total Western, Inc., All West Coach Lines, Inc., Katera Construction, LLC, Balance Staffing, Battleborn Digital Media and Marketing, George Koch Sons, LLC, Joseph Tardos, a contractor, Alpha and Omega Detailing, LLC, Parsons Electric, LLC, Nippon Express, USA, Inc., Process Protection Systems, Inc., Southern Industrial Contractors, Constructors, Inc., Premier Restoration and Remodel, LLC, SCADA Systems, Limited, Tabor Construction, LLC, Pacific Roofing Company, and James J. Juarez, all to be approved.
Great. Any public comment regarding the second reading today? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve A through Z.
Very good. A motion to approve all A through Z. Have a second?
Second.
We move to second to approve all items on the second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Yeah, one of those companies was from Japan, another one from New Zealand. On the first readings today, there was another one from Japan and one from the Netherlands. So, a lot of international companies moving in. Moving along now to item number 19, the correspondence. There's an insert in the back of the today's packets with the Story County Fire Protection District report. You can see on that about half the calls are actually in the North County and half are at this end. So. 50-50. We'll move on to item number 20. This is a time for public comment. Ms. Bard. See that clock down there? Time clock. 3 minutes.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. Actually, I have two things. You may or may not be aware, it's a small thing now, but it will become a bigger thing. Over the weekend, a resident, my neighbor, reported a drone looking into their house in two windows. Yes, spying drones, peeping drones. Okay. It's one incident. The sheriff's office took the report. You know, we'll try to find it, I'm sure. But what I'm here to do is to ask you, and additionally, I've got to believe that with Tesla and Switch and other, you know, top secret places out in TRI, you guys may also either already have or in the process of developing zone laws or drone laws or something, because you don't want, you know, recreational drones flying over your area either. So I'm just, A, bringing it to the attention of the commission that it's starting. It's just going to get worse. And request that you begin to think about some zoning ordinances regarding the, you know, behavior of drones. It's my property. I don't care who you are. You cannot fly your drone and look in my living room on my property. And yet, this is a new area. Things may not have been defined yet, but I think that at a very small and local level, you can start thinking about it because it's just totally inappropriate. If I'm a criminal, I can now begin to observe what your pattern is, Marshall, on when you come and when you go, la-da-da-da-da, figure out when you're asleep to be able to rob your house. I mean, you can extrapolate out. So it's just a request to the board to begin to think now rather than later about drones.
You're right. I think that they have some type of state protection, too, you know. And I don't quite understand all of that. Oh, well, the district attorney.
I've prosecuted the drones and trespassing cases. All right.
Well, because people are being prosecuted for taking these drones out, too, by shooting them out of the sky, for example. If they're trespassing, you should be able to shoot them out of the sky.
There's FAA
on that part.
I've heard of people being prosecuted because for some reason they have some type of exemption to be able to fly around wherever they want to fly.
It's considered aircraft via the FAA, but I think it is uncharted territory at a county level. I think
actually I've been prosecuted.
Then can we look at adding an ordinance so that we have as homeowners and private parties and even TRI?
Yeah, we need to look at that.
Okay. Just saying. Okay, the second thing I'd like to ask about is what happened, the gas and the diesel indexing and tax was defeated by the voters, correct? Okay, so that's dead, that will never happen, or is there any work going on trying to tax those two commodities?
I'll let Pat speak to that.
You're 100% accurate. In fuel indexing for both gas and diesel failed in all 15 rural counties. I don't believe it was on the ballot in Washoe because they had it for quite some time. Mm-hmm. It was on in Clark, and Clark passed. We have, and I neglected to point this out during my staff report, we have approached majority leadership and asked if they would consider enacting a tax of up to a nickel on diesel only. So gasoline would stay exactly the same. Diesel, if this passes in the legislature, would be looked at as either a one-time shot or you could go up a penny, 2 pennies, 3 pennies, clear up to 5 cents, but 5 cents max. And the structure of the proposed BDR that we do not have a number for yet, but we hope to have, would actually, the legislature would say, each board of county commissioners, you can do it if you want to, and you don't have to if you don't. So they're pretty much passing the responsibility and burden on to the local governing boards if it passes.
And this is road diesel or pink diesel?
Road only.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then it hasn't even had a hearing yet. We're in the process of trying to get it there, and there'll be quite a bit of wordsmithing. For instance, we'll probably limit it to, I think MDOT uses either a major and minor, or you heard the word today, a major feeder and an arterial, but they won't be used on minor rural roads. Mm-hmm. So I would think we could use it probably on our portions of Cartwright and Lastown, because I would think those to be feeder roads that, you know, feed a state highway. Probably can't use it on I Street in Virginia City. It's
good morning. Okay, great. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right. We'll continue on with public comment. Come on up, sir.
Good morning.
Well, good afternoon now.
Yeah. He said it right before the clock.
That's right.
Good afternoon. Honored Commission, honored Miss District Attorney and Miss Stevens, and honored audience. My name is John Crouch, First Sergeant of the United States Marine Corps, retired, C-R-O-U-C-H, sir. And I've identified a slight problem in the Virginia mountains. I live at 22900 Mountaintop Road, Mr. McGuffey's territory. And I was snowed in for 3 weeks in January, and I've been snowed out since that time. And the only way that I got out, Washoe County Search and Rescue came in with a snowcat and took me and my dog and my cat out. But to dovetail in with our honored firefighters, I've highlighted and found a problem that we have. Riverview Road has washed out, and that's the only way that they can get up to get to the Dayton side for fire. There are people that live above me and on the other side of the that use that road, or Six Mile Canyon. And Six Mile Canyon has problems getting in and out on it. And right at this time, I cannot get to my residence on Mountaintop Road because of Riverview Road being washed out. I presented this to the commission this last week. They're working on it with Mr. Thompson has picked up the gauntlet and is running with it. And hopefully within the next 2 to 3 weeks after we get a break in the weather and the thaw comes and more water flows down Cottonwood Creek and takes the rest of the road out. That is what the problem is. There is no fire equipment that can get to the Dayton side of the mountain range. And we have a vast amount of forest on our side, on the Long Valley side, and Riverview Road side. So I'm appealing to this commission to take a look at this, because that is the only way that we can preserve this side of the mountain. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago we had a fire on the Dayton side that reached two-thirds of the way up. It did not crest, but we had a significant problem. And I'm, you know, laying my appeal at your feet. If there's anything that we can do, it would be muchly appreciated. Like I said, Mr. Thompson has picked up the gauntlet and is running with it. He's contacted some of his people, and they are going to address it. But I just wanted to bring this to the floor and present this to the commission, that we have a problem on the horizon if we have any fire season at all. And with this amount of moisture, we're going to have a lot of vegetational growth, cheatgrass and all the other noxious weeds, so to speak. So that is basically where I'm at.
Are you on a 40-acre parcel out there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm at 229 on the parcels.
Okay.
And that's where my address comes from, is 22900.
You're out there next to Daniel Boone, aren't you? Or Davy Crockett, one of those guys.
Well, I thought it was General Custer myself. But that is what the problem that I have identified is. You only have one way in. And I have not been able to get the county to say, yeah, that's our road, or no, it's Virginia City Highlands Road. It's the HOA's problem. HOA is saying, we don't want to touch it. And I'm sitting up there by myself. And there's also other people that have dwellings in that area and on the Dayton side of the hill. So where do we go from here?
So I can follow up, Mr. Couch, just a bit and speak for Chris Thompson. He is currently and unfortunately burying his brother back in Colorado today. And so he's been out of pocket for 2 or 3 days. The young man came back from Vietnam with very serious issues, and he was not able to survive the challenge. But I do know before Chris Thompson left that he appealed to Joy Engineering, who are a real fine company out in TRI, and Ames Construction, who are the construction company that are actually from Utah, and they are building the USA Parkway extension.
Yes, sir.
And both companies have agreed as private parties to come in and assist you with the problem you're having reaching your home. I assume that they're going to have to wait for a break in the weather, but that's not my call. They'll have to look at that. But I know that Chris briefed me before going back to the funeral. And I do know that we have commitments to help you on an independent basis, although I've been told that they're private roads, and so it's the county can't take up the gauntlet. So I don't know beyond that.
Mr. Gilman, I understand that, and I didn't want to bring names to the floor if it hadn't been presented to you, sir.
It was presented to me.
And so I'm aware of that. I know the names. I've been in contact with Mr. Alexander. And so that's where we stand. And we had a conversation yesterday morning, and Mr. Alexander said that weather being the prime factor is what's stopping the dumping of riprap and gravel to fill the washout. Well, when this melts, we're going to have a larger washout. So that's where we stand. And you're in communication. I'm in communication with Mr. Alexander and also with Mr. Thompson.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to take my hat off to Mr. Thompson because he stepped forward immediately. And he's always saying that, you know, well, the Army's helping the Marine Corps out again. So what can I say? But we appreciate all help. We'd even take help from the Coast Guard if we needed to.
There you go.
All right.
Right. Let's
Anyone
look,
have any
let's
questions?
Let's look at this and see if any of these let us take a look at this and see if any of these connecting roads to get to you are supposed to be maintained by the county.
Correct.
If they are in the HOAs, then the HOAs are going to have to step up to the plate. We can help out in time of an emergency, when we declare an emergency, to help out on which we did during the storm events out there, helping to move snow because the HOA's equipment isn't as large as the county's. We can help, but we can't do it on just a regular basis.
I understand that,
so
sir.
We have to...
And I've also been to the governor's office on this also.
Yeah.
And talked with Ms. Kelly Anderson and also Mr. Cage. And they're aware of the fact, but they say we can't help. But my concern was if we have money coming in from FEMA, there might be a way that we could take some of this money for some of these, quote, private county roads, which do appear on county maps, so that we can maybe upgrade them on an intermittent basis if there's a problem found. Because my understanding, and I know that there's a culvert system that was not... It was large enough, but it did not hold the water capacity of the last melt and the last storms. And that's when the water came over the road. And so I offered Mr. Alexander two pieces of culvert that I have personally up at the ranch, but I can't get to it so that they can put that in place.
Well, we had the same issue on 6 Mile. We had culverts there that couldn't handle the water runoff as well.
I beg your pardon, sir?
We had the same issues in 6 Mile Canyon, where the culverts there weren't able to handle. That's
right.
Why it's still washed out.
And a Rainbow Bend.
And
well,
Rainbow Bend as well, yeah.
You know, I've lived up there for 17 years, and this is the worst snow that we've had, except for, I think it was, 2004, something like that, that we had But I was only snowed in for a month and a half then.
Who was maintaining your road back then? Who was maintaining your road back then? Yeah. See, they're all private roads, so.
In Riverview Road alone, I put $7,000 worth of gravel in that road by itself. And the road from my property line up to my residence, I put $20,000 worth of gravel and labor in there.
Wow.
But it's washing out as we speak.
If I can weigh in, we have been aware of this, and one, the county's super grateful to Chris and Joy Engineering and Ames Construction. We know of no ownership whatsoever, although they appear on maps that all the roads in the Highlands that are well known to be private. Our issues are. We believe them to be private, but then the conundrum or the dilemma that you find yourself in is, okay, well, are they the HOAs? And, of course, there is no 40-acre HOA as we know it. So it's kind of literally like no one's. It's no man's land. In the past, through the DA, I'm not going to try to speak like a lawyer, but we've determined and we know that we cannot work on private roads unless there are certain mechanisms in place and or if we're operating under a state of emergency. Right. So at this point, my best answer is the county can't help because we'd be actually violating state law.
The only other avenue of pursuit, this last summer, for about a month, Forest Service came in and graded Long Valley Road, which dates all the way back into the 1840s and 1850s, because they used to bring provisions up to the railhead, then the wagons used to pick it up and come up Long Valley Road. Story County has refused at that time to pick up responsibility for Long Valley Road since that time period. And that was the main avenue to get provisions to the miners in Virginia City was Long Valley Road. And that's the way it stands.
I think Story County did do some improvements on Long Valley Road.
Sir?
In the last year or so.
Well, that was Forest Service.
Yeah, I think the fire department did do some improvements on Long Valley Road in the last year.
Forest Service, sir.
I think it was, no. I don't think that. It was Story County.
Did.
Okay. Yeah, it was the fire department.
And Forest Service, because Forest Service had their equipment down there for almost a month doing grading.
Let's look at this and see if there's any county involvement out there that we can help out with. We can't give you any commitment to it, but we'll look into it.
I just want to bring awareness to the fact.
Go ahead. We appreciate it, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
And thank you for your service to our country.
I loved every 32 and a half years.
There you go.
All right.
We're still on item number 20, public comment. No more public comment? Okay. This meeting is adjourned.